Good morning. This is WJOY's Lamplighter Program. I'm Howard Gunning, and today we're going to continue our conversation with Bill Hyde, the executive producer of Heirloom Audio, who was just telling us about what it feels like to be up in competition for awards against companies like Disney and Pixar. Hope you enjoy the conversation.
Here's a couple little thrills backstage in a secular audience. And remember, this isn't the Dove Awards. This is
right
companies that don't really necessarily see eye to eye. And another thing, Howard, that I got to stress is that, you know, there's a lot of Christians that think no matter what we do, unbelievers or secularists or whatever, how you would categorize somebody that wouldn't be on the same page theologically or whatever, they're never going to recognize me. They're never going to see, no matter what I do, because they hate Christ. And to some degree, there's a little bit of truth to that, but I have to tell you, winning, these aren't Christian judges. These are people listening to great stories, and we're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and Christ is a central faith. You know, you listen to our stuff. The faith of our characters isn't overplayed, but it's no one runs from it, right? Mm-hmm. So when times get tough, for whether they're Robert E. Lee or King Alfred or whatever, William Wallace, we try to tell where they went for sustenance. And one of the greatest things that really I've experienced, I mean, at the one ceremony, I mean, just think about this place, right? I sat by William Shatner at one of the things, and that's, man, I mean, never thought I'd be in that position. He was always James, you know, James Kirk to me.
Right.
And he's even got more hair now than he had when he was on the show, which is pretty cool. But to be backstage and to talk, I had one of the judges just say to me that, again, this is not a Christian, just say to me, hey, I just want to tell you what a great story that was. You know, we had to listen to these stories all in order to make our decisions 3, 4, 5 times. And I was so impressed with your story. And to have someone say that isn't really on the same page, to me, tells me that maybe what we've done in the past is just not. Maybe we haven't done great work. Maybe we've done some cheesy work, passed it on as great work, and then try to slide by playing God's the hand of God's grace and saying no matter what we do, it always has to be good, and maybe cheapening even the phrase of that. And so I think that is empowering, and I think other people, young people, whether they want to be in movies or produce stuff that like we're doing, should just be encouraged that it's not as clear cut as what it might seem, and we're just Beric de Britain. We just got nominated for an Audie, which is on the other side. That's the East Coast version of the Oscars, mm-hmm. I think we were nominated for one of their highest awards. And you're a radio guy; you might get a kick out of, you know, Garrison Keillor probably. Yeah. Well, in the last one that we did, we actually beat Garrison Keillor for best storytelling. So I never thought in my wildest dreams Bill Hyde would be one of his favorite guys to listen to. I'm not talking about his politics or anything
right.
or this or that. I just love Garrison Keillor, and I love his ability to tell a story, and I love those stories about, you know, casserole-bearing saints in Minnesota. You know, it's just great stuff. And to win in that category over him, that's a long answer, Howard, but to win in that category is just... it blew me away. I called my dad. He could, you know.
Yeah.
I said, "Dad, I just beat Garrison Keillor in this storytelling category."
Bill, I just love how you go to saying, you know, whatever we do for the Lord, we need to do well. And I think you're right. Too often, lots of times, we give God the leftovers. And so to go out and whatever it is you do, whether it's building an audio adventure, whether you're working in a profession, or at home with your kids, whatever we do, we are supposed to do it as if we're doing it for the Lord, and that should be our best. Now, your newest one that you just put out, it's a little bit darker in some sense from some of your other ones, In the Reign of Terror. You lined up, again, another great group of folks on there, Brian Blessed, John Rhys Davies, Jack Farthing. Tell us about the In the Reign of Terror, and maybe what are some similarities you feel like are in that story and what's happening in our country?
Sure. First, what kind of crazy person would release would have a Christmas release that would be In the Reign of Terror, right? Well, that was
yeah.
a Christmas release. And we actually sold more of those than we sold anything else because, in essence, it's a story about how a family stays together in the midst of an incredible crisis that they couldn't really understand. They couldn't really get their heads around just what was happening to them. And then it all started moving so quickly. So when societies do unravel, it does happen fast, and many times people aren't prepared for that, and kind of like a deer in the headlights, right?
Sure. So, oh, and I'm sorry, for our listeners, the Reign of Terror, we're talking about the French Revolution is what we're talking about.
And we are talking about the French Revolution, and which was a revolution that occurred after our revolution. And what the interesting part of that is the French had spent a lot of their money actually helping us beat the British.
Right.
And so between that and living, you know, high on the food chain, which Louis did, and kind of that aristocracy and the cost of the court, all that top-heavy stuff, there was a strong line between the rich and the poor in that society, and there wasn't a bridge between the two. Christianity had kind of lost its essence, and so there was no commonality between the classes, and I think that radicals at that point, starting with, you know, thinkers like Voltaire and so forth, the radicals at that point kind of seized the day. And believe me when I tell you, it was Christianity that was under attack. You know, they even tried to take and rearrange the work week. Most people don't know that, but they land, they worship the goddess of liberty, and they're talking about a liberty that has no framework whatsoever. And the framework was left to each man's interpretation. There's a lot of Bible verses we could go to. Everyone thinks that they're right in their own eyes, you know, and that's what happened there. So if you're going to worship reason, which they said that that's what we're bringing in, they made this dichotomy between faith and reason, which is a false dichotomy. They said, if we're going to worship reason, we're going to use reason. Well, the problem is everyone, who's reason? You know, Karl Marx or the Apostle Paul or Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. Whose reason are we talking about here? And it's nothing solid. It's nothing like Scripture, and it's nothing like the type of constitution that our founding fathers and type of government that they created, which was really biblically based in many ways. And so that's the society that came unglued and became a function of debt. That was the thing that kind of triggered this, and a little bit of a famine as well, some problems with food prices and supply and demand. But the next thing you know, the guillotine's out, there's blood in the street. I mentioned Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, and I do that for a reason, because he had this concept. Number one, he patterned the Bolshevik Revolution and a lot of the murders that went on there after the French Revolution. And two, he said something that I read years ago that just stuck with me. And I always have to tell it because it just reminds me of stuff that people say today, and it reminds me of things that have happened in history. So he said, V.I. Lenin said, that the revolution always consumes its children.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus said something similar to Peter, only he kind of flipped it back the way it's supposed to be. He said, Peter, put that sword down. Uh-huh. People that swing swords around end up dead themselves. And what happened to Robespierre, the fellow that really was one of the architects of the French Revolution and was responsible for, at the end, kind of guillotining thousands of people, ends up getting guillotined himself. Any kind of paradigm that, you know, you open, be careful, because that paradigm's always can be a bit of a boomerang. And when a paradigm changes, everything changes in society. And that's again why we need to cling to our Bibles, and we need to cling to what our Bibles mean for individual liberty and for what a government means and so forth. And,
yeah, and for the French, that opened the door for Napoleon to become dictator and emperor. So.
Yeah, so you're swinging this pendulum way back and forth, and when you do have anarchy, that's probably not something that we all learn in school, is when you have anarchy on one side, the pendulum swings, you get a Napoleon. When you get a Napoleon, it ends up getting top-heavy, and then you get people revolting against that. And so people, the only answer is what our founding fathers had, and that is really a more Christocentric, Trinitarian basis for government, and a government that's transcended. This is another thing that's, I think it's cool, is if all you have is each other and you just have human reason as your as your source of ethics, as your tool to or standard to determine what right or wrong is, then you have nothing to judge a tyrannical government by. In other words, really, what are you going to say in a totally Darwinian world that's just one big, strong God taking over, right? It's actually part of Darwinianism, but that's not the Christian story, and that's not how we, as Christians, do business. It's not how we do government. And so there's really having a transcendent God that has a set of rules for life and standard that even kings can be judged by. King David found that out when Nathan pointed a finger at him. Yeah. I think that's such a blessing, and we don't really think about it on a daily level, but just we know there's a God, and we know that, but just understanding what can keep you from a bloody revolution is this transcendent God that you can always use, that's always stable, that's always there.
Well, once again, that's all the time we have. So if you'd like to hear the conclusion of this conversation, be sure to tune in tomorrow and hear the third part of our conversation with Bill Hyde of Heirloom Audio Productions. This is WJLY's Lamplighter Program. I'm Howard Gunning. Thanks for making us a part of your day.